Ocean Spurscast, episode 556. My name is Paul Garcia, and I am the host of the Spurscast. Joining me for this episode, right before the NBA season begins, is Project Spurs' founder, Michael DeLeon. Mike, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good. The preseason panic hasn't set in yet, so I think I'm doing all right.
It hasn't set in for you? Man, on Spurs Twitter, I've been getting, why is Lonnie Walker the fourth not playing? You know, they're 0-3 and all this stuff. Yeah, so all right, let's go ahead and get started here. Mike, we're going to kick off this episode by going into some preseason trends. Kind of now that the Spurs have played three preseason games, we're going to see kind of what are some trends that we're starting to notice, in these games. You know, we don't want to focus too much into them because, again, they are preseason. A lot of the times the full lineups aren't even out there. Guys are sitting out that are going to be in real games when they start next week. But one trend I'm already seeing that's pretty much been very consistent right now, Mike, is the starting backcourt. You know, it looks like it's going to end up being DeJounte Murray and Bryn Forbes. It's a nice balance for the Spurs. You know, you get a dribble drive kind of creator in DeJounte, who's still working on his jump shot. You know, it's really early with that new form that he's bringing out. And then you balance that with his really good defense, you know, which is superb. I mean, he's just playing really, really well defensively. And then, you know, you counterbalance that with Bryn on the other side of him and DeMar, who's able to shoot threes. And I mean, in a little bit, I'm going to read you some of the numbers about Bryn Forbes' three-point shot right now. But, I mean, he's doing really well. So real quick, what are some of your impressions over those two guys? Are you surprised that it is DeJounte and Bryn Forbes again, probably?
Yeah, I wasn't sure how it was going to go, but that kind of made the most sense to me, especially when we start to see that DeJounte and Derek weren't playing together too much. That Bryn is obviously a guy that I think that he showed the coaching staff last year and showed Pop, you know, what he was capable of and stepping into that role that he needed to start the season. And I think he ended up averaging somewhere around, I want to say, about 12 points a game, which was a big difference from what he had averaged, you know, the years before. And now he's starting to show that that wasn't just, you know, that wasn't just like a flash in the pan type of thing. Like, he's actually capable of being that scoring two guard. So I'm not too surprised, because DeJounte, even if he struggles with the shot, you know that Bryn's always going to be there. Then you have additional scoring from tomorrow. And I think you just have to have a capable three-point shooter in the lineup there. So Bryn's obviously that guy.
Yeah, you know, I wrote down some notes just that I wanted to kind of get discuss here. You know, in terms of DeJounte, looking at his offense, you know, he's slowly getting more aggressive. He's definitely not afraid to get fouled, you know, go hard to the rim. And that's a good sign, considering that his confidence is there. Coach Pop mentioned that last night after the New Orleans game. And then he's also shown his cut ability, where he can kind of go right by a guy in transition and get a layup or a floater. You know, the jump shot is coming along. I know that was a big thing. You know, Bryn Forbes got set some high expectations in training camp when he said DeJounte's jumper is, what do you say, it's money now or something like that, his mid-range jumper. Yeah, he said it's money now. Well, it's only preseason, but he's 3 of 11, so 27%. But again, I think what Bryn means there is that the form definitely looks better. So, you know, the numbers don't quite show it yet for his jumper, DeJounte, but his form is definitely there. It's a little bit quicker. It looks more smoother so far in the sampling that we've seen. And then, like I said, he gives the Spurs another playmaker who can kind of create for himself, get in the pick and roll. If there's like a, you know, if it's a one-on-one possession late in the shot clock, he can kind of go to the rim as well. And he's demonstrated that alongside LaMarcus and DeMar DeRozan. And then defensively, I mean, you just see what the Spurs missed last year without him. He's just all over the place, you know, disrupting possessions, getting in passing lanes. There was a possession against the Pelicans where Brandon Ingram gets him in the post. He thinks that he has an easy post-up. Well, when they throw the entry pass into Ingram, DeJounte just scoops it out of the air. I know a video clip that's been going around on Twitter is that he blocked Zion Williamson in like a help defensive play under the rim. I didn't even see that, and I was there in person. But, I mean, that's surprising. I did see the video footage afterward. The people were showing that he blocked Zion on a play. So, again, he's just going to bring a lot more to that team. And then Bryn, like I mentioned with Bryn, I mean, his first game against Orlando, he scores 24 points. Miami, he didn't play as many minutes, so he scores 5 points. And then against New Orleans, he ends up scoring 18. Just check this out, Mike. Bryn has made so far in three preseason games 9 of 14 three-pointers. 9 out of 14. He's only missed 5. And he's responsible for 43% of the Spurs' three-pointers. 43% of those made threes are because of Bryn. Did you have anything you wanted to add there after that?
No, just that's just an incredible you know, clip that he shouldn't have gotten. And that's not something that, I mean, that's going to be hard to keep up, but it's just showing kind of like where he's at. And obviously, he spent a lot of time in the offseason. So that looks great that he's able to do that. And he looks really comfortable stepping the shots and like finishing in transition. He'll pull up. And that's something we saw Danny Green doing for years. Whereas before, it's been like he actually kind of be set. And so now he's able to do it off the dribble a lot more. And that's why I caught him sitting there. And yeah, I mean, Brennan's that guy that I think everybody was ready to give up on before last season. Now it's like you really don't have an option. This guy is like, you know, he's been responsible for a large part of the offense last year, and he might be this year as well. So he's definitely making things harder for the front office staff, especially when they have to look at him and his salary after this year.
I think one thing that's really, really impressive about him is that, you know, he definitely adds to his game. You can see that, you know, when somebody tries to run him off the three-point line, he's so comfortable now, either just kind of pump faking and going in for a mid-range jumper, or even last night against the Pelicans, he got all the way to the rim and dunked the ball. I mean, he basically has counters now for when you're trying to take away his strength, which is his three-point shot. Mike, you mentioned this earlier. Because Forbes is now basically showing that he's probably going to be the starting two, the impact is that we're not going to get to see that lineup that everyone was excited for the summer in Derek White and DeJounte Murray sharing the court defensively. You know, so far they just haven't had – they just have – Pop literally hasn't played them at all together to start this season. And right now you see that Pop's kind of going more so. Even though there is probably a lot to gain defensively, he's definitely wants that balance on offense by having somebody with the three-point shot out there in Bryn before going to that lineup. However, Mike – you know, you and I are recording this on a Monday evening, and the Spurs do play on Wednesday, the Houston Rockets, who start, Russell Westbrook and James Harden. Do you think there's a chance that we might see the Derek White, DeJounte combo now against the Rockets?
That seems like the best opportunity to get that lineup out there, just because, you know, obviously they're both very potent scorers and very athletic guys, so that might be the best opportunity. And honestly, I think that's the way it's going to go for the rest of the season. It's going to be kind of based on matchups. Because I think any other game, I think Pop likes having a defender out there with the shooter. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, that's kind of the same way with the Derek and Marco. Marco's a shooter, but he can get caught defensively a lot of times. And Derek White can kind of pick up that defensive slack. But against a team that has those two guys like that, then that's one you might have to go to a Derek DeJounte lineup, because Brandon is obviously, I mean, that's a tough task for him, because he's going to have to take on one of those guys, and either one of them is going to be probably bigger and a little bit stronger than him.
Yeah, so now let's shift over to the bench unit, the second unit, kind of what's been kind of taking place here. You know, the starting lineup, if I'm assuming on opening night, is probably going to be right now DeJounte Murray at the one, Bryn Forbes at the two, DeRozan at the three, and then the Spurs are looking like they're going to go traditional with Aldridge at the four and Jakob Poeltl at the five. So what does this mean off the bench? You probably have Patty Mills at the one, Derek White at the two, and then right now Pop's been playing a lot more Marco Bellinelli at that backup three behind DeRozan, and then either Rudy Gay or Damari Carroll at the four. So what's the impact there is that, you know, over the summer, Lonnie Walker was really impressive in summer league. A lot of people thought he would, you know, this is going to be a huge jump for Lonnie in year two. But, you know, I think it was Colin who first told me this. He's like, don't get your expectations really high. You know how Pop is, his mode of making. Yep. He's going to make the young guys like Lonnie have to beat out Bellinelli for his minutes. And that's kind of showing to be the case. Outside of that opening night game where a lot of the guys were off, Lonnie did play 25 minutes that night. Then ever since then, he's only played 5 minutes in one game, then 6 minutes. And you've seen Marco's minutes start to increase. You've seen Damari Carroll's minutes start to increase as well. So are you surprised that Bellinelli's pretty much still the backup three ahead of Lonnie?
Not at all. And I've tried to explain this to a lot of people on Twitter, because everybody just seems so outraged about this and talking about how Marco's unplayable. And I'm just like, you have to understand, he's not just going to throw the keys to Lonnie and say, okay, it's yours. I mean, he was injured for a while, and then he played, you know, in Austin a lot. And so he's got to see more than a few preseason games to just toss it to him and turn it over like that. I think, you know, the whole corporate knowledge thing is very important to Pop. And Marco, while he may not be the best defender, you know that he knows where to be most of the time. And Lonnie, the little most, you know, obviously, the positive outweighs the negative with him, But when he makes mistakes, I mean, he can really get caught sleeping sometimes. And so he's going to have to, you know, I'm just not surprised. It happened kind of exactly how I expected it. And what I told people is I expect that eventually at some point in the season, Lonnie might take over, but it's not going to happen right away. He's obviously going to go with the guy he trusts overall, who's had years in the system before. So I'm not really surprised at all right now.
So one thing I'm looking at, I was looking at the numbers and I was looking at the minutes that Pop's been distributing right now between Lonnie, Bellinelli, Rudy Gay, and Damari Carroll. One thing I've noticed is that Pop, like, you know, he's starting to see what Damari brings to the team. He gave him 11 minutes in the second game, and then 17 minutes in the most recent game against New Orleans. Now, on opening night of the preseason, Damari didn't play. He was resting that game. However, he and Rudy Gay both play a very similar position right now. They're both playing the four for the Spurs. So I'm actually wondering now if Pop really, really likes Carroll because of his defense, and then especially like how he can shoot the ball as well. He showed that by making three of four threes against New Orleans. If he really likes him a little bit more, he also still needs to get Rudy his minutes. I think there's a chance that perhaps he could maybe just bump down Bellinelli and Lonnie down the depth chart and end up giving Carroll that backup three spot to get, you know, Aldridge's minutes at the starting four and then give Rudy Gay the backup minutes at the backup four. What do you think about that? Perhaps maybe Carroll becoming that backup three instead of Bellinelli or Walker.
Yeah, and I think this is kind of where Damari Carroll benefits from coming from systems that are very similar to the Spurs and having, you know, coaches and things that have been in the system, I guess, or with the team. And not only that, he's a veteran. He's smart. He knows what he's doing. And, you know, I knew he was capable of hitting the three, but he's been hitting it, I think, a little more than I expected at this point. And so I think having another three-point shooter that can also defend, it's also kind of a leader out there, is something that he'd like. So at this point, that seems like that would be a good move, you know, over, you know, Marco. If he decided to do that, that seems like that would be a smart move. I mean, you have to kind of create minutes and try to get minutes for everybody, and that seems like a natural place for him, where, like you said, Rudy would still get his minutes in the lineup. So, yeah, I mean, I'd like to see that. And you know, Damari might end up start showing a little bit more and help in other areas that we may not have expected this season.
Yeah, for sure. You know, that's something that we'll definitely monitor to see if perhaps Pop goes with that route in terms of getting getting Carroll some minutes, because, you know, obviously he brings the plus on the defensive end where they need some help. And then that three-point shooting is starting to look a little bit better for him. Last topic on the preseason, Mike. I mean, yeah, on this part of the preseason, should I say, is I don't want to dig too much into the numbers because it is preseason. I mean, if you think about it, they haven't really, the Spurs really haven't even had their full lineups at all, because like at least one star player sits out or a key role player sits out of a game so far to start this. Outside of that Miami game, I guess you would say, that second game, outside to start this. And then we know that Pop, by like the third quarter, midway through, he kind of just pulls all the key players that are going to play in the real season and puts in a lot of different, you know, guys that are going to end up in the G League or perhaps guys that are going to end up in Austin that are on their rookie contract. So that's kind of what we're seeing, that trend. So it's hard to look at the data and really, really judge it and take anything quite away from it. But I did notice that, you know, in the first two games, they could only score 89 points. Their offense has just been having issues, which, again, new players, you know, everybody's trying to figure it out. Not everybody's there. But then against New Orleans, they looked a lot better. They scored 114 points. They were getting to the paint. They were getting to the free throw line. And I know I'm the person who's the math guy who loves the numbers. And a lot of people, you know, fans and even journalists talk to me. They're like, oh, you know, you're too much of the numbers. However, I will note that LaMarcus and Rudy Gay were out of that game against the Pelicans. They were resting, both of them. Yep. And the Spurs didn't really take as many mid-range jumpers. They only took 13 total. They only got 10 points from mid-range. And so what was the benefit? There's more space for DeJounte to attack, for DeMar to attack. Jakob Poeltl got some action. And they also shot more threes. And so sure enough, you saw their best game in preseason of points in the paint. And you saw their best game of getting to the free throw line, plus their most three-pointers they've made. So just let me just ask you this, Mike. What do you think about the shot selection? Should they really look at that, or do you think it's going to just be what it is, like how it was last year?
Yeah, I mean, I think we probably have to see a larger sample size before we kind of like decide on this. But so far, I mean, you're not going to have, you know, the guys that were out are going to miss a large part of the season. So, I mean, I expect that it'll probably still be a lot of the same the way it was last year. But if they can, you know, they do have, like I said, those pieces like Bryn, obviously, and DeMar, we talked about, that can provide a little more outside shooting. That's great as well, but I think it'll still be, you know, quite a lot of mid-range shooting.
Yeah, most likely. I think that's the case as well. And, you know, Rudy definitely takes more threes, and Aldridge has started to, at least he's taken one a game so far in this preseason. So we'll see, you know, if they do add that a little bit more. I know Pop was asked about, you know, adding more threes before the game yesterday, and he did say, you know, that is an area of focus for them. They do want to add some more outside scoring for the team. And then defensively, like I said, it's hard to judge this data because it is preseason basketball. Basically, they haven't looked good defensively overall. They've been giving up over 107 points per night in these preseason games. They did look pretty good in the half court on Sunday against New Orleans, holding them to 16 points. That was lowest they've held an opponent so far in the preseason. But Bryn Forbes kind of commented on that. He said that the half court defense, they played a lot better on Sunday. But he says transition, they've just been terrible so far. And that was kind of the case. And it's pretty tough, especially when you're having to guard Zion. Have you taken anything away from the defense just based on this preseason data?
No, but so far, I really, honestly, when I watch a lot of times, I try not to dig in too much just because it seems like it's preseason. And so there's a lot that's probably going to change before we start seeing, you know, obviously lineups and the way they start when they start playing for real, really. Because I feel like sometimes a lot of people look into that stuff a little too much when it's honestly the preseason games are basically pop throwing lineups and things like that at the wall and trying to see what sticks. And so we really don't know yet. And obviously I think a lot's going to change when they actually tip just over a week now against the Knicks. So I think then now I'll probably take away a lot more. Still a lot of trying to find roles for people also and trying to find minutes. So I'm not sure what we're going to get at this point, I think.
Yeah, no, same here. You know, that's why, I didn't want to dig too much into it and go on to all these different directions with the numbers because it's not really good data, honestly, because it is preseason. All right, Mike, last section. Let's go ahead and go into the latest news for the Spurs. They did make a roster change. They waived Dedrick Lawson on Sunday after the Pelicans game. That was pretty much expected. He was on an Exhibit 10 contract, which means that now if he signs with the Austin Austin Spurs, there's like some benefit where he gets like, I think, $50,000, something like that. He'll basically end up in Austin is the takeaway there. After doing that, though, the Spurs are going to sign Galen Robinson Jr. He's a 6'1 point guard undrafted out of Houston. He will make the Spurs have 19 players on their roster. This most likely looks like that same type of deal like Jeff Ledbetter, where they sign him. They're probably going to waive him pretty soon and then, you know, allow him to play in the Austin system. Is that kind of is that your takeaway from them signing Robinson?
I don't even see him being there Wednesday for the Rockets game, to be honest. Like, and I don't know if he'll even make it to a practice. I have a feeling he's going to be signed and then he's going to be waived. I mean, same thing as like Jeff Ledbetter and then also the other guy, was it Matt Farrell?
Yeah, Matt Farrell, yeah.
Same thing.
Yes.
Yeah, I think it's just getting a guy, I think, really. It's just a right deal. They had already signed him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because he worked out with them before the draft, went undrafted, so Austin signed him. But this way, it kind of allows him to get that Exhibit 10, which allows him to make his bonus plus his salary. And I think it allows him to keep his rights. So that's if he plays, I think, or if he stays at least 60 days with Austin. Mm-hmm. So that's basically all that's going to be. Because really, I mean, there's already so much. And I was afraid that as soon as I put this out there, I was going to see like everybody complaining about why another guard. But again, I don't think he's going to really even see the any game time or maybe not even any practice action. So it's just going to be another guy in San Antonio. I mean, sorry, in Austin for the Austin Spurs next year.
Yeah, so that's kind of the case right now. You know, the Spurs, with Galen Robinson Jr., they are going to have 19 players on their roster. However, before the first game begins on October 23rd against the Knicks, they will have to waive two players, and those two players will most likely be Robinson Jr. and then also Dalton Holmes or Holmes. Some of the guys were telling me how to pronounce his name last night at the game, and
I don't
know how to say it. So anyway, I'm just going to say
I'm
going to stick with Holmes still.
I've heard people say it many ways, so we'll just say that.
Either way, they're probably not going to end up being on the San Antonio roster. They're going to end up probably getting waived and then most likely playing in Austin, though, so they'll probably be new Austin Spurs players. All right, Mike, thanks for joining me on SpursCast episode 556. SpursCast listeners, if you are on Twitter, please follow him at MDLeon. Before we leave this episode, I do want to make sure to remind you all to visit ProjectSpurs.com. Over on Project Spurs, Ben Bornstein is still getting you ready for the draft. His latest piece is called Prospect Watch San Antonio Spurs Positions of Need. So make sure you check that out by Ben. Also, we are providing one of our free offense and defense game-by-game trackers using preseason data. Now, I know it's just preseason. Mike and I just talked about that. And this is just kind of give you all the SpursCast listeners and website viewers of Project Spurs an opportunity right now during the preseason, during these first five games, to see what you would get in the regular season if you become a Project Spurs premium member. So again, go check out projectspurs.com. Click on the link that's called Preseason Spurs Offense and Defense Game by Game Tracker. In there, you see some really cool offense and defensive stats after each Spurs game. And I do update those exactly right after that Spurs game ends, as soon as I get that data in. And even though it's preseason, you know, you don't want to take too much away from these numbers. I will be providing this to Project Spurs premium members once the season begins on October 23rd against the Knicks. So as soon as that Knicks game ends, I'm going to be, updating that stat sheet. With new data of real regular season data. So make sure you check out projectspurs.com and sign up to become a premium member if you're not already. Okay, so for Michael DeLeon, I am Paul Garcia. Thank you. Have a great day.